Hello, I'm Major Adrian Allman.
And I'm Captain Claire Allman.
Welcome to the Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army podcast series. Birmingham Citadel is a Christian church located in Birmingham city centre, here in the UK. Each episode is a recording of the Bible message that would normally be shared during the Sunday worship service.
While we are unable to meet together for worship, we will publish our podcasts at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning, and you can also see daily videos on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. It's good to have you share with us, and as you listen now, we pray that God will speak to you. May you know God's abundant blessing today. If I was to ask you to name some brilliant couples, brilliant duos, who would you say? Ant and Dec, Morecambe and Wise, William and Catherine Booth, Victoria and Albert, Michelle and Barack Obama, William and Kate, Ross and Rachel in Friends, Minnie and Mickey Mouse, Anna and Kristoff from Frozen. All really iconic couples. They work together well. They achieve success when they are together. The world is a better place because they found each other. As we continue to travel with Paul on his missionary journeys in Acts, we meet an iconic couple from the New Testament, Priscilla and Aquila. In the early church, there are many examples of believers who dedicated and sacrificed themselves for service for God. You're probably familiar with the more prominent ones, such as Peter and Stephen, James, Paul, Barnabas, Silas and Timothy. But there are others, less well-known people, without whom these leaders could not have accomplished what they did for God. These people were equally dedicated to and sacrificed for the service of God. Aquila and Priscilla were just a couple. Press pause just now, why don't you then, and listen to the story of Priscilla and Aquila in Acts 18. So here they are. We're introduced to them here in this chapter at 18 in Acts. They were a dynamic husband and wife team who played a valuable role in Paul's life and in the early church. Verse 2 tells us that Aquila and his wife Priscilla had been driven out of Rome by an edict of Emperor Claudius in 49 AD, requiring all Jews to depart from Rome. So they settled in Corinth, a large commercial city where they met the Apostle Paul. You may recall a couple of Sundays back that Paul had recently come from Athens, and when he arrived in Corinth, he was penniless and alone, his co-workers having departed elsewhere, planning to join up with Paul again in Corinth at a later date. It was then that God brought Aquila and Priscilla into Paul's life through their shared profession, tent making. Their meeting in Corinth was the beginning of a lifelong relationship with Paul. As we look through this chapter, we're going to spend some time looking at this couple and the important part they played in God's kingdom building. If you're a part of a couple, then they are a great example of beautiful ministry in a marriage partnership. But equally, their approach to ministry is a great example for us all. And so we're going to spend some time looking at how their ministry was significant. Firstly, they were engaged in service. A traveller was driving along one day and had an accident. He drove his car into a ditch in a desolate area. Luckily, a local farmer came to help with his horse named Buddy. Well, the farmer hitched Buddy up to the car and yelled, "Pull, Nelly, pull!" Well, Buddy didn't move. Once more, the farmer hollered, "Pull, Nelly, pull!" Buddy still didn't respond. The farmer repeated this action again with the same results. Then the farmer nonchalantly said, "Pull, Buddy, pull," and the horse finally dragged the car out of the ditch. The motorist was really appreciative, but he was also curious. He said to the farmer, "I really appreciate what you did for me, but why did you call your horse by the wrong name 3 times? The farmer said, "Oh, Buddy is blind, and if he thought he was the only one pulling, he wouldn't even try." Well, like Buddy, people usually don't like to think they're pulling the load all by themselves. That's why Jesus sent his disciples out in teams of two. It's easier to do ministry when you're part of a team, and Aquila and Priscilla are a great example of team ministry. You don't even find Aquila mentioned without a Priscilla, nor Priscilla mentioned without Aquila. They were partners engaged in ministry. They worked together to build up the kingdom of God. The world was better for them working together. They dedicated their lives to the Lord and the church. Their travels and ministries are not fully recorded, but in all probability they travelled to other areas and had a wide ministry. When Paul greets them at the end of Romans, he thanked them for their sacrifices made for him personally and said, "They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them." So Priscilla and Aquila ministered to all the churches of the Gentiles in some way. They were engaged in service. Paul also called them my helpers in Romans 16. What a marvellous title to be given. There was only a select group of people in the New Testament whom Paul referred to as his helpers or his co-labourers. This group was a special help and encouragement to Paul during his ministry. So this gives us a good idea how active Aquila and Priscilla were in God's service. As we have been working our way through the book of Acts, it's become more clear with every passage that Paul was called by the Lord into ministry. But make no mistake, Priscilla and Aquila were just as equally called into ministry as Paul was. Priscilla and Aquila were just as equally called into serving the Lord as Paul was. The call upon Priscilla and Aquila was the same call that was upon Paul. The call of the Lord into ministry is just as equally upon you as it is upon Adrian and I today. Every single person listening to this today who has given their life over to Jesus Christ is called into ministry as equally as Adrian and I have been. Everyone, right from wee Archie Braveheart at 3 years old who's just discovered Jesus to 97-year-old Irene, are all called into ministry, into the service of the Lord. You may be thinking, well, I can't quit what I'm doing to go into full-time ministry. Well, you don't have to, because where you are and what you're doing can be your full-time ministry. That's whole life discipleship, remember? That's your front line. In our passage today, we see that Priscilla and Aquila are not apostles or preachers or missionaries. They are tent makers, and they remain tent makers. Priscilla and Aquila are regular people with regular jobs, but the impact they have for Jesus Christ goes beyond many who were called to full-time ministry as preachers or pastors in their day. It's never recorded that Aquila or Priscilla ever preached a sermon. There's no evidence of any ordination, and we don't know of any official church position either of them held. Yet they were a wonderful blessing to the church because they gave themselves fully to God to be used for his glory in his service. What an example for us today. Aquila and Priscilla model for us a couple totally dedicated to God and the advancement of his kingdom. Priscilla and Aquila are our biblical examples on how we can live out our called to Christian vocation outside our full-time ministry in the church. And this chapter helps us to see what they do to live out their Christian vocation. And there are two things that comes out in this chapter that they do. Firstly, they encourage the saints. They meet Paul in Corinth and have the tent-making trade in common. As earlier said, Priscilla and Aquila used to live in Rome, where they were forcibly ejected by the Emperor Claudius. The number of Jews had grown tremendously in Rome, and at first Claudius had banned them from meeting in connection to their religious customs. But when this did not work, Claudius expelled them and they meet Paul in the city of Corinth. The city of Corinth was strategically situated, and virtually all commercial traffic passed through the city's two ports as it made its way around the Roman Empire. Now, Corinth was a pagan city and was known for its very lax morality and would, in all honesty, be a difficult place to establish Christianity. But Paul's strategy is brilliant here, for if Christianity takes hold in Corinth, it will easily spread through the empire. Corinth is the strategic city upon which the future of Christianity rests. Establish Christianity in Corinth, establish Christianity everywhere else in the empire. Now, for Christianity to thrive in Corinth, it needed to be established in more than just churches. Christianity needed to be rooted in the lives of everyday people. in come Priscilla and Aquila. Paul may be a powerful speaker and a teacher. Paul may establish new churches and accurately teach the word of God well, but it was people like Priscilla and Aquila who quietly made Christianity thrive. Without a doubt, the kingdom of God was built on the backs of people like Priscilla and Aquila, and not necessarily the people we imagine to build the kingdom of God. Priscilla and Aquila take Paul as a guest, and this is the first example we see of their call to ministry. They support those who are called into full-time ministry. They encourage the saints. See, we're all given roles to fulfill by the Holy Spirit when we become Christians. There is no one role that is greater than the other in the kingdom of God. What's important is the role the Holy Spirit has called each of us to fulfill and doing that. Because Priscilla and Aquila gave Paul a place to stay, and my guess is they shared meals with him as well, they were giving Paul time and space to fulfill what God had called him to fulfill. Paul entered Corinth with numerous battle scars. He is tired. He's no doubt feeling the pressure of ministry. Unlike previous chapters, Paul is travelling alone. It is here that his path crosses this dear couple. I can imagine they were like a cool drink of water to the bruised apostle. And so it is no doubt that God used them to encourage him in his work. Without Priscilla and Aquila, Paul would be far less effective in his ministry because he would have had to spend more time making sure he had a roof over his head and food on his table. They looked after him. This dear couple came alongside Paul at a crucial time in his life. When he needed them most, they were there. God had divinely placed them together. God had put them in that Holy Spirit balm to be an encouragement. And they responded with obedience. They engaged their gifts and encouraged a dear saint of God, the gift of encouragement. We all need a bit of encouragement, don't we? We have one of these echo dots, you know, and every morning when I come down, I speak to it. And this is what I say, and listen to the response. Alexa, I love you.
Thanks for saying I love you. Just as sweet as pie. Know that I'll be there for you. As always, your trusty AI.
Oh, I just love hearing that song. It really cheers me up and encourages me to start the day positively. We all need encouragement. For us today, we can all carry out our own ministry of encouragement, like Priscilla and Aquila. We all know that there are people listening who are on the brink of throwing in the towel, calling it quits and walking away from everything, like perhaps Paul might have been feeling a little bit. There are people in this church who are struggling. People in our family, people in our work situation, around our homes. The pressure of life, what's going on at the moment of work, of home, or any host of responsibilities are pressing hard against them. They're hurting and they feel alone in their struggle. They're desperate, in need of someone to care. Adrian and I can't do that all by ourselves in this church. There are people that God has placed in your sphere of influence, people that you can encourage, and many of you are so brilliant at doing this and have been doing it so beautifully, in particular over these past few months. And you know the impact of encouragement. Very clearly, we are told to encourage one another throughout the New Testament. We all know the impact encouragement can have on us. People who are that Holy Spirit balm to help bring healing and to help us keep moving forward. This is being engaged in service. Aquila and Priscilla were engaged in the service of encouraging saints. Well, let us be encouraged by them in our engagement in service by encouraging the saints. And then the second thing I pick up that they do in their being engaged in service is that they equip the saints. In this verse, these verses, we are first introduced to a young man by the name of Apollos. Apollos had come from Alexandria, and he was well educated, articulate, and gifted in the understanding of scripture. But his message was incomplete. Apollos had heard and received the message of John the Baptist, but he had not heard the full story of Christ. His motive was pure. He had a great passion for the Lord, but his theology wasn't so well-rounded. Notice how Aquila and Priscilla react to this young man in verse 26. Did they publicly confront him and shout him out? No. They quietly invited him home and explained what he was missing in his teaching. Now, we all need to understand how popular and how significant Apollos was here. Apollos was one of the most popular and respected teachers of the New Testament early church. It would be the equivalent in our day to taking Rick Warren aside to quietly correct him. They lovingly came alongside him and quietly instructed him. They took time to invest in him, to equip him for ministry. Unfortunately, this doesn't always seem to be the rule in society and indeed many churches and Christian circles today. Our standard response is often to go on the attack, to write nasty editorials or emails or call name and browbeat them and show them up on Facebook or Twitter. We need to be more gracious. We need to learn from Priscilla and Aquila and be people who will lovingly draw near to less mature Christians and help them and encourage them in their faith journey. I think about people who have equipped me in my faith. People like my Auntie Margaret. She wasn't my real auntie, but she looked after me when we lived in Glasgow. My parents never automatically chose the usual babysitters in the corps for Richard and I. They would take some time to look around and to get to know people a little bit first. And they often chose people who were good encouragers and great equippers as well. Well, Auntie Margaret would tell me when I was in the wrong. She wasn't slow in coming forward with that, but she'd do it so graciously and she lived it out as well. I think of my Sunday school teacher, Thelma, in Aberdeen, whose gentle personality always took an interest in me and through our weekly lessons equipped me in my service and my faith journey. I think of my singing company leader, Claire, in Govan, who smiled with her eyes, but gave me opportunities to be more equipped in my faith and encouraged me in that way. Each one of us is being influenced and influencing others throughout our lives. We will all go to heaven with the handprints of others upon us. These are people whom God has used to help us, to encourage us, to instruct us and to stand by us. I am thankful for every person who has taken time to invest in me. I am thankful for every person who has been willing to pour a little of their own life in me. Aquila and Priscilla could have written Apollos off and dismissed him completely. But their discernment saw great potential in this young man. They discerned in him a sincere heart. He did not have everything right, but he was doing the very best he could with what he had. And as a result, the Holy Spirit compelled them to come alongside him and encouraged him to go on with God. Only eternity will reveal the full impact of their investment. We do know that Apollos received their instruction and went on to preach with great effectiveness. By the time Paul wrote his first letter to the church at Corinth, Apollos was a well-established and influential preacher. That was the direct result of Aquila and Priscilla using their spiritual gifts for the glory of God. This wonderful couple had a wonderful gift. It was the gift of exhortation. What does it look like in the modern church? It looks like ordinary men and women taking time to encourage others. It might be a quick and simple text message or email. It might be a letter sent. It might be having someone over to your home for a meal, obviously not at the moment, or meeting them somewhere for coffee, obviously outside at the moment. It might be giving someone a resource to help them or a book to help them in their faith journey. It might be conscientiously praying for them. It might be a host of things. But it is everyday people taking time to invest in others. And that's being engaged in the service of equipping saints. All Christians ought to strive to be engaged in service, to be participants, not spectators. It may be that this morning God has impressed on your heart someone you need to be a blessing to, someone who is quietly struggling, and your thoughtfulness might be just what is needed to keep them going. Perhaps God has spoken to you about investing in a younger Christian to take them under your wing, as it were, and to help them in their walk with God. Priscilla and Aquila did much more than has been mentioned in these brief passages. But what we see here is an example for us, and that example is that we are called into ministry in whatever vocation we are in. If we follow the example of Priscilla and Aquila, we might possibly have a more effective ministry in this city and in our front line. Paul saw Jesus in Priscilla and Aquila. As Christians, that's the most we can ever hope that people will see in us. And so as we reflect on that for just a few moments now, we're going to listen to a beautiful song that asks the question, do they see Jesus in me? The God of encouragement speaks to us through others. The God of encouragement also speaks through us to others. Who are you being encouraged to encourage and equip today as you engage in service? Well, let's listen to this song and reflect upon that, and then I'll pray together with you.
Is the face that I see in the mirror the one I want others to see? Do I show in the way that I walk in my life the love that you've given to me? My heart's desires to be like you in all that I do, all I am. Do they see Jesus in me? Do they recognize your face? Do I communicate your love and your in me? Well, it's amazing that you'd ever use me, but use me the way you will. Help me to hold out a heart of compassion and grace, a heart that your Spirit fills. May I show forgiveness and mercy the same way you've shown it to me. Do they see Jesus in me? Do they recognize your face? Do I communicate your love and your grace? Do I reflect who you are in the way I choose to be? Do they see Jesus, Jesus in me? Do they see Jesus in me?
Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful testimony of Priscilla and Aquila in your word. We can see you at work in them and through them. May we follow their example, and may people see you in each of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast this week.
So you don't miss any further recordings, please subscribe to this podcast and also share and review it to help other people find and join our Birmingham Citadel online congregation.
This has been a production for Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army in the United Kingdom. If you'd like to know more about us or want to worship with us, then visit our webpage at birminghamcitadel.co.uk.